whether in life or in death, we still always celebrate. We got much more to do while we are in a prime. And dancing is a great way to celebrate. Stop trying to change who you are, honey. I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio station, available on Android, available on Alexa, available on podcast. We are literally the only radio station in the world that covers literally every aspect of health. How are you doing? And despite the grief that I've experienced over the last month, I still hope that like me, you too, regardless of what we're going through, still remember that you are blessed and divinely favoured. Sorry, I forgot what it is now. That you are blessed and highly favoured, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem and the answer to somebody's prayer. How can I forget my own statement? And of course you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. And everything starts in our minds. So my mum's life taught me something amazing about living. And this week, I dedicate the show to my mum's memory. And the theme I wanted to look at this week was, when you put people first, people remember. There's nothing wrong with being self-centered when you put self first. You have to do that to put the oxygen mask on yourself before you look after others. But there is a lot to be said about being selfless. When you are there and you're able to put others before yourself, and that sacrificial love, that unconditional love, that says a lot. So last week, Thursday, 28th of May, we said our final farewell to my mum. And honestly, what a send-off it was. I mean, the cards, the flowers, the hugs, the stories, the support, Lorene Cato and friends, the choir, it was like being at one of those American concerts. It was off the charts. I had the privilege, and I say it's a privilege, to read my mother's eulogy. And I think what I wanted to share, just to sum up just the first part of the service. One of my friends from college, so this is when I was a teenager, so we're going back some 50, almost 50 years. Dear Jenny, firstly, to again express our condolences for the loss of your dear mum. The heartache I know is hard to bear. I know that my beautiful friend Sandra lost her mother a few years ago. Secondly, apologies for not being able to attend the whole funeral event. I must comment on the service, which was amazing. The choir were just awesome. They sang with their heart and soul. Your tribute was truly wonderful. It gave a real insight into who your mum was, and her dedication to her family. I felt very proud watching you give that eulogy, as it is not easy to deliver with interest, timing, emotion, love and humour. You expressed it all. As said, I was indeed one of those hundreds who passed through your parents' home and enjoyed a warm welcome and hospitality. Do you remember the cheesy buns, the cheesy beans on toast we enjoyed on days when we finished college early? We did have some cheesy beans and fish finger sandwiches. Anyway, cheese and fish finger sandwiches. How lovely that your mother was so well thought of by all who met and knew her. What greater legacy is there? Indeed. Lastly, it comforts me to know that you have a close-knit family, your faith, your church, and your friends to support you. It is important to keep talking about your mum, Marjorie, and voicing those fond memories. I would be happy to just sit and listen to you share those if you ever feel the need to. Thinking of you with love always from Sandra and Lester. Sandra is a friend I knew from the age of 16 at Sassy Sexy 63. It says a lot when those friends still are there for you in your time of need. And so, you know, I love that card. I love what she wrote, because that she had somewhere else to be and other things that she had to do, but she came to the church. And that's it. See, for me, most touching of all will definitely be the people. It's the people who remembered my mum, like I've just shared with you. The people remembered how she made them feel, as you just heard, who remembered her kindness, and who remembered that she put people first. I mean, you know, the parties we had, two of my late friends who sadly passed away years ago, but when they had problems at home, my mum just let them move in. And, you know, she's got six kids, two more mouths to feed. You know, nothing was too much for my mum. And it reminded me that while we often talk about wealth, we talk about status, we talk about houses and possessions, the greatest investment we ever make, the greatest investment we will ever make is in people. Because when we put people first, people remember. So, as we get into this show, I want to ask you, what is your legacy? Because many people think that legacy is what happens after you die. But I don't agree with that. I think legacy is what you are actually building day by day. And you're building that legacy through your habits, your words, your actions, your relationships, and your choices. And in many ways, the openness, warmth, and curiosity people often associate with me, after I read that eulogy, I can see where it came from. It came from my mother. And that's made me reflect deeply on like how I've lived. You know, what habits am I going to be passing on to my sons? You know, what habits are we passing on? What habits are you passing on? What habits are we modeling? But ultimately, the life we live is the habits we agree to repeat. And, you know, when we look at sickness, when we look at dis-ease, literally, It comes back to that health acrostic that I've used before. And literally, health stands for habits expressed as life transpires here. Or habits expressed as life transforms honestly or habitually, right? So habits are just things that are repeated. Then when you look at it that way, you realize that actually your health is not an event. It's a habit. Your health is a habit. Or it's a sum total of your habits. And then your habits become your destiny. Now, honestly, please don't take this the wrong way. Many times when, you know, I love Johan's book, you know, how he beat cancer. And he says, you caused it, you can reverse it. I had a friend whose friend has been diagnosed with cancer, and I told them to get the book. And because that's on the front cover, he said he doesn't like it. But nobody likes being sick. And most of the times, nobody likes to hear the truth. If your bank account is empty, but you've got all the trappings and trimmings in your car, in your home, in your wardrobe, on your feet, the bags you carry, it's not because you haven't had the opportunity to have the finance that you need to invest or to spend accordingly. The destiny we have, where we find ourselves, I remember that statement years ago in church, where you find yourself today is as a result of the habits that you choose to repeat on a daily basis. And many times we make statements and we just say things without really thinking about what it is we're saying or the impact of the things that we are saying. So the Bible says to us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And those who eat of its fruit, you will live and, you know, you will be rewarded of its fruit. So is your mouth fruitful or is it fruitless? Do the words that you say and speak over yourself, are they edifying words? Are they words that bring you up, lift your spirit? Are they words that bring other people up, lift their spirit? What do you say when you talk to yourself? That's a great book, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself by Shad Helmsetter. What do you say when you talk to yourself? Do you remind yourself that you are blessed and divinely favored? Do you remind yourself that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you remind yourself you're designed for signs and wonders? Do you say, I forgive and release the past? Do you say that I'm a walking ball of forgiveness? You know, what do you say about yourself and how do you speak to yourself? Because the weight of your words is really important. It's really, really important for you to understand the emotional response behind the words, the thought, the words, the deeds. What are you putting into action and how are you putting it into action? Because this is what happens, you know, our words, our actions, the relationships we build, how we see people, what we're willing to do for others, and are we willing to do it? What's the intention behind the actions you take and the things that you do for others? You know, if it's to gain something for yourself, then the gain will be short-lived. I've done this radio show, I think, nearly 5 years, and I do it because I love it. Of course, I would love the audience participation. I ask you guys all the time. I give you my email address. I tell you where to find me. I put events on that I would love you to take part in. But I do it because I know that it's important. And if one person calls me, if one person emails me, if I have the opportunity to change one person's life, I've done my job. I've done my job, and that's all that matters to me. So if I can make a difference in one person's life, I can transform a life and save a relationship that I've done so many times before in the past, then I've done my job. But after losing my mum to such an awful, awful disease, I would like to think that I could do more. I could look to see what else can I do? How else can I make an impact? And the only way in which I know to do it is through health. Now, because we're so driven by, aesthetics and social media makes it all about how you look today and what you did yesterday, then I have to make sure. Well, I give God thanks that, you know, that because of the history and the habits I've had as a teenager, I have the posture, the aesthetics, the body, the outward look that people will comment on. But I'd like to think that it's that people will realize there's an energy in me, there's a flow, there's a bounce in my step. So there's more to me than just, you know, oh, you know, you look good. One of the ways I described my mum, and I said that I used, I said, our mother, the weightlifter. It's an interesting analogy to place on one, but it's one I use to share. I would say our children are our children first and a weight second. So too the shopping or anything we're carrying. So this was our mother. She carried 6 children, picking us up physically first, then mentally always. She carried our burdens, our disappointments, our wants and desires, our opportunities and missed opportunities, dreams, loves and losses. Her posture was amazing. From carrying as a child those buckets or pails, walking to the standpipe to get water, as the luxury of running water was not what she experienced growing up. Imagine, we paid big money for gym memberships to get a good body. Yet our mother could probably squat, deadlift, and walk more upright than most with the grace of a gazelle. She had 6 children back to back, yet never had an incontinence problem, never complained about back pain or even knee pain until much later in life as health challenges took hold. She walked every day. She carried the family grocery shopping. She managed her children, her work, her family and herself. But the weights we didn't see were the weight of her health, especially as it progressed. My mother witnessed her mother's mental decline, yet she shared with my son her fear of losing her memory. However, this sadly became her experience too. I liken it to being burgled. It's like a thief who keeps coming back to take a little more each day. It starts with a little moment before they become big. All those memories of dating and marrying her husband, giving birth time and again, our first steps, schools, friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, the holidays and the laughter, the parties. We had some proper parties at home. Nursing us back when we were sick, our mother and our friend. She was slowly robbed of everything. Unfortunately, we were unable to reverse the damage. So we loved her through it, and it's that love that kept her 4 years longer than many thought when we went into lockdown. But not only her memories, but her voice, that laughter, that comment telling us to shut up if the noise got too much. Her little marching song she taught us when we took her walking, something she learned in Barbados, which also speaks to how she carried herself, right? This little marching song was this before we go to break. Left, right, left, marching is a pleasure. Left, right, left, we're keeping up in stride with shoulders back and chest bone open wide and head up straight and arms down by your side.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What's really encouraging to see right now is that for some of the trends right now in women's health, it's quite encouraging because many women are now finally beginning to move away from quick fixes. They're beginning to move away from extreme dieting because they're beginning to see the dangerous effects of it. They're beginning to move away from chasing skinny. The lawsuits on the Ozempic are only just hitting the tip of the iceberg. And the damage that this quick fix life has done to internal organs is tremendous. Women are moving more towards strength, longevity, metabolic health. They're moving towards pelvic health. The younger generation don't want the struggles they see their mothers who look so great on the outside, padded up on the inside. They don't want that life for themselves. They don't want to see women, you know, who are going into menopause much earlier because of the elevated levels of stress as a major contributory factor to, you know, messing up hormone balance and nervous system regulation. And they're seeing those impacts, you know, even in terms of trying to start new relationships that fall apart. And some mothers are being quite open because it's because of the issues around their pelvic health and their intimate health. But they're moving towards community wellness. So what's really nice is that many experts are now saying the biggest women's health trends for 2026 are strength training, pelvic health, longevity, and nervous system well-being. So the conversation is finally shifting. It's shifting from how thin can I be to how well can I live? And it's shifting because what's happening is my mum lived 6 weeks shy of 90. Now, I know the quality of her life was taken away, slowly ebbed away, especially in the last 5 years. And all those things I talked about being burgled, you know, even she was even robbed of her freedom of movement. Once she became bedbound, even the ability to walk, to move, everything was taken from her. She didn't volunteer to give it away. And in many times when we're in this position, when we're taking long-term drugs, because diabetes type 2, the long-term impact of those drugs is Alzheimer's dementia. And so when you have a lifestyle-induced challenge and your doctor misinforms you, and I will say this without any apology, because most diseases are reversible. So when you are told you have this for life, you have to remember that, you know, there's a poster I've got and it says the only thing more powerful than a black woman is God, right? That's what it says. Well, you have to remember that God has the final say, whether you're a believer, yes or no. But if you put your trust in man will always change his mind and then he will find a reason for what's going on. You can see that now in the politics with Keir Starmer, with Jeffrey Epstein, with all of these different things that are happening. At the time, they say one thing, then they use it against you, they use it for you. They, you know, it's revolving. It's revolving. And so me as a believer, we know that God never changes, you know. And this is what we have to remember, is that someone else is now going to tell you about your mortality. Most of the time, we now look and we see that where people are sick, where they're not well, where they have things where, you know, they have a pill that allows them to maintain where they find themselves. So when we take medication for diabetes, the throwaway comment is you need to change your lifestyle. What should really happen is it should be, well, I'm going to give you this set of pills and these are the lifestyle choices I need you to make. And then you can come back and see me in 3 months or 6 months, because nobody likes change. And as I've always said, if we change the language, words carry weight. So in my acronym, in my book, Pelvic Floor Secrets, which you can still get, jennyrussell.com, JennyRussell, sugar, sugar, ELL, love, love, rather than Lima, Lima, jennyrussell.com. Go into products, you'll find Pelvic Floor Secrets. Chapter 12, Love Life or Love Food. Diet, D-I-E-T, difference in eating this, difference in eating that. There are only two ways to eat. There are only two ways to eat. You eat towards optimizing your health or you eat towards minimizing your health. So if you are a person that has health challenges, but you see the things that take away your health as treats, can you see where the fight becomes? The brain can't work this one out. I want to treat myself to cake, biscuits, processed food, etc., etc., because of the sweet taste, the sugars, the preservatives, etc. I call those treats. Now I'm being deprived of the treats. But the things that I'm calling treats don't treat my body or my cells or my internal health in the way that will actually optimize my health. In fact, they clog my arteries, they stiffen up my fascia, they stop the lymphatic fluid from flowing. They create problems, inflammation and mucus, which is the start and the foundation ingredients for sickness. So that's what those things do on a continuum. So how can that, any of that, be a treat? So I change the language and I get my nieces to change the language, my sons to change the language, my clients to change the language, because I, Jennifer Patricia Russell, treat myself to optimal health. And with full awareness, I will have a slice of the black cake made for my mum's funeral. But that's not my dinner. That's not my staple diet. That's not what I eat. I've got black cake my friend gave me in February. I haven't finished it yet. So it really shows how and what you do. So now I know I'm treating myself to optimal health. Everything about that treat encourages me. My body, my mind thinks, oh, this is a treat. This is a treat. And when I have something else, I do it with full awareness. No guilt. It's not a guilty pleasure. There's no guilt. So I change the language because words carry weight. And we start to understand that. So what happens is I allow myself emotionally and hormonally to remain balanced because I don't associate what doesn't help me with being good for me, being the treat that I'm going to have. I associate what's being good for me as being the treat. So my body responds accordingly. And that's where we need to be. So I'm going to do another masterclass this weekend, another free masterclass, and I'm going to title it, What Will Your Health Look Like in 10 Years Time? I'm also going to entitle it, What Will You Look Like in 10 Years? Or perhaps I may call it, The Body You're Living In Tomorrow Is Being Built Today. But that's probably the subtitle. And I think that fits really perfectly because that's the thing. The body we will live in tomorrow is the body we're building today. We're building it with our habits. We're building it with our words because every statement we make creates this emotional response that stimulates a hormone production. So how we speak about ourselves, how we speak over ourselves, what are the things you say over yourself, you know? I love and approve of myself. Can you say that? I love myself. I approve of myself. I forgive and release the past. I am blessed and highly favored. I am a magnet for miracles. I am designed for signs and wonders. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The words I speak over myself, I'm just, you know, crazy, sexy, cool. I am sassy, sexy, 63. You know, I'm healthy. I'm strong. I'm of sound mind. The mind of the, you know, memory of the righteous is a blessing. I speak words of affirmation over my life. What are the words you speak over yours? They're not always easy. People don't always find it easy to speak affirming words. But those words, why I say they carry weight, they carry emotional weight and hormonal weight. Those words start a little avalanche of a series of events. Your words, the emotional response, the hormonal response, the organs that are stimulated, they start a cascade of events on and on and on. So, you know, for me, my mother's passing really brings up more awareness. It doesn't bring up fear. It brings up awareness. It brings up more awareness about mortality. I lost my dad 19 years ago. It's like we're adult orphans. I know we're adults now, but still, it's like, you know, we're just like these adult orphans. And I feel like, I give God thanks because, you know, by God's grace, there's 6 children. We're all like literally a year apart, except for the 5th and 6th, 2 years apart. Then there's only 3 grandchildren, 4 grandchildren. And then there's 1 sister-in-law. So, but we're a close-knit family and we can argue. We can argue at the best of times. But the next day, it's like, you know, we might hold it a week, 2 weeks, maybe a month at tops, but there's none of this year's business going past with us. You know, my mum would have been 90 on the 19th of this month. And we're planning, what can we do together? I go to this lovely little funky stuff in Brixton, the second from last Sunday in every month. And I'm thinking, well, look, you know, the timetable's gone now. No one's on duty. Why don't we all go together? Because my son's birthday's on the 19th. My mum's would have been the 19th. Sorry, the 14th, my son. My mum would have been the 19th. And my sister is on the 28th of June. So we're going to celebrate regardless. And I think we can all go out together as a family. We've got cousins that want us to get together as a family. I used to be the first person to light the barbecue. That was the biggest conversation. It's like, right, we're all going out to the barbecue. We're all going to Jenny's barbecue. So that's the next thing. So now I've got rid of my gardener. And boy, because I don't have a lot of flowers and a lot to do in my garden. So I wanted them once a month and they said no. But I need somebody because my garden has never looked like that. And I'm telling you, there's enough confusion inside, much less outside. I have to clean up. So, at Pelvic Secrets on Instagram, TikTok, Jenny Russell, J-E-N-N-I, Juliet Echo, November India, Russell on LinkedIn and Facebook. I'm going to post some pictures. Last Saturday, I did a little bit of modeling for a guy named Zachariah Solomon. So if you go in Z-E-K-A-S-O-L-O, Zachariah Solo, his clothing was on the London Fashion Week last year, Uptown Yardie with his wonderful hats, and in Brixton Village. I just felt amazing, and I just did a little posing in two outfits. That's one of the things I'd love to do. I'd love to get a gig as an adult model, just, you know, the older models, you know. I'd love to do that just for fun. I'm just happy that I have health, I have vitality, I have opportunities, but more than anything else, God has blessed me with a gift that allows me to help you help your health. And that's all I want to do. I want you to look and not think that the odd person at 70 or 60 or 50 is like, wow, they look amazing. How can they look like that? One of my neighbors came to the funeral, and when I was young, I used to fancy him all the time. But this guy could not get over how I looked. And I don't think I got over how he looked either, because we did not look like we were the same age. And we are the same age, but we did not look the same. Now, you know, I used to say to my friend, if looking good is vanity, then thank God I'm vain. But looking good is an inside-out job. The clearness and smoothness of my skin isn't about what I put on it on its own. Primarily, it's about what I put into my body. How I walk, how I stand, how my joints are functioning. It's not about what I put on myself. It's what I put into myself. That's mentally, emotionally, hormonally, nutritionally, physically, circadian, because I put sleep in, I put those things in, oxygenation, hydration, all of those things. They all make a difference to how you show up in the world. Let's play a trail.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so we're back. So the lesson that dementia has taught me, because watching dementia unfold teaches something profound if you really watch what's happening. Because then you start to realize that health isn't lost overnight. In the same way that sickness doesn't appear overnight. It's a gradual decline. It's lost gradually. It's lost quietly. And it's lost habit by habit. Decision by decision. And year by year. So the challenge is that many people only pay attention when the symptoms become impossible to ignore. That's what we all do. I mean, I'm guilty of it, you know, for different things for myself. We tend to brush things off and not pay attention until those symptoms become so strong, we have no choice. We can no longer ignore it, right? But health always whispers. It whispers first. And then after it finished whispering, it starts shouting. You know, it's, like I said, it's for me, I think what struck me the most wasn't simply my mum's memory loss. It really was the loss of her voice. Because with that became a loss of advocacy. It became a total loss of independence. She couldn't communicate her pain. And that's why I bang on about health. And I just feel like that's what I do. Bang on, I must, right? Because maintaining health is infinitely easier than managing decline. It is infinitely easier than managing decline. And that's that one thing that sometimes you think, oh gosh, you know, here she goes again, here she goes again. But if you can maintain your health, there's a video I saw on Instagram yesterday, a paramedic, and he said he's watched many people die. Paramedics see many people die. I watched this show last night, actually. One of those traffic interceptor ones when accident things. And, you know, I don't need to watch any more grief. I've been through my own. But I just found myself compelled to this show. And literally, it just made me cry. This man lost his life, 46 years of age. He was in one of those small cars. And he was teaching his daughter to drive. And they came to an intersection and he was going to turn right. But then he saw, when he looked to the left, or they saw, you see it on the CCTV or whatever, the camera, a white van reversing back really fast. And then you see behind it a tanker, like a trailer tank thing attached. It was attached to a tractor coming down the hill backwards. And then it clipped the pavement and it tipped. I don't know how that girl got out, but God was with her. But it had all this, it had tons of soil in it. It was like a 20-ton truck or 16-ton truck with like 10-ton or 12-ton of soil. All at the back, it tipped and it just crushed the car on a diagonal. And that was the end of that man. In an instant, life is gone. In an instant. And that really touched me because there are times outside of unforeseen circumstances that we can't do anything about those things. They are tragic. You know, that poor girl, you know, that is tragic. Tragic, tragic, tragic. I couldn't imagine anything worse. But there are other times when we get older. And this paramedic was saying that he's seen death. He's seen people die slowly. He's seen people die peacefully. He's seen it. But what he said was he's seen more and more of people that are in their 60s, 50s and 60s and 70s that are dying than those that are in their 80s and 90s. And what he noticed, especially he went to the homes of those people, were the ones in the 80s and 90s were the ones that had whole foods in their cupboards, in their fridges, were making food fresh. The ones that were dying younger had processed foods. The ones that were dying later still went out walking every day. They moved. The ones that were dying earlier stopped moving. They had a sedentary lifestyle. We're chasing money. We're chasing it. And it's got us sat down behind computer screens and in offices to all hours of the night, trying to make sure we get the promotion, to get the increase, to then put ourselves in further debt, to do whatever. And so we're chasing those things. We're not creating the memories that we need that will carry us through. And so he was saying that, you know, you know Paul Check, Chek, his book, and it's even got volume 2 out now, How to Eat, Move and Be Healthy. It's how to eat, move and be healthy. That's how it goes together. And so we have to understand that, you know, it's an EMH, eat, move, health. We have to understand that health is more than eating and moving. But they are a significant part of health. And so when we start to look into health, when we start to understand health better, we start to realize that our habits play a big role in where we find ourselves. Our choices play a role in where we find ourselves. And so we've got to, as we get older, make better choices, make more wiser choices. The Bible says, when I was a child, I behaved as a child. I thought I was a child. When I got older, I put away childish things. We can't live on processed foods. We can't say we hate vegetables as adults because the vitamins and minerals that we need makes no sense. If, as we age, frozen shoulder is one of the inevitabilities of aging, it also is a stress response and speaks to mineral deficiency, then we can't live on those foods. We have to be able to give the body the minerals that it needs, but the absorption of those minerals can't happen on a cocktail of pharmaceutical drugs. It will block and inhibit the absorption of those drugs. If we're taking drugs that are blocking coenzyme Q10, which the cells need, and blocking the pathways that allow us to produce cholesterol, especially the liver, which detoxifies and produces 75% of the cholesterol in our body. Coenzyme Q10, you need that for nervous system regulation and nerve function and bodily functions. If your medication is blocking those things, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And if you've got high prolonged levels of stress response, poor sleep, then the body is not going to absorb the vitamins and minerals that it needs. And so it comes out in different ways, the frozen shoulder, the stiff back, the poor knee. You know, you're thinking to yourself, well, I've got issues with my knee or my back or my bladder. But maybe it's the kidneys talking. It's like you have to start to understand, or you don't have to start to understand, but you should want to start to understand how your body works so that you can help your health and help yourself. That's how you need to be. So, me, I think it's time to relaunch the next 6-week arc. So that arc, ARC, as we're moving into summer, it's really about awareness, responsibility, and change. Because people need those things. So the 6-week arc is a shorter commitment for you. It's a reset. It's not every day. It's a bridge. And it will allow you just to be able to become aware of things that you may not even thought were that important to really pay attention to, but actually maybe the stumbling block even to the health and vitality that you crave. We all say we want to be healthy. We all say we want to invest in our health. But it depends on in which way we decide our health is worth investing in. And so this 6-week arc is a lovely, easy to implement program that you can access, and you can access it online, that just gives you the tools that you need to be able to increase your awareness of self, understand your own personal health responsibility, and see actually how you can implement change. Now, the thing about change, because it could be arc or it could be art, because it could be awareness, responsibility, change, because arc is or art, transformation. But change is instant. Transformation takes time. Why do I say change is instant? That poor man that I spoke about just a few moments ago, whole thing in the house changed. My mum took in her last breath, and the whole way in which I see myself, my responsibilities, the things, You know, I've had this, we've had this rota where Tuesdays is my day and we have to do one weekend a month and we have to do one Monday a month. And, you know, you've got to do this and I've got to go and buy this and I've got to do this and take my mum to hospital and be here and do this and do... All gone. All gone. And that change maybe may give me back some time and some freedom, but it's change and it's instant. The minute my mum took her last breath, my brother and sister were no longer power of attorneys. Change. It's instant. And, you know, if you find yourself with any kind of sickness or disease, change is instant. But transformation takes time. That's why it's so much harder. Because transformation is change in action over time. Small changes, you know, when you make new habits, that's change. When you decide to go to bed at 10:30 the latest instead of 12:30, that's big change, but it's change. You can instantly go to bed tomorrow. You could be going to bed at 12:30 tonight and you can choose to go to bed at 10 o'clock tomorrow. You go to bed, but the chances are, I can guarantee you won't sleep. So you might change the time. But in order for the body to transform its circadian clock and to change the circadian rhythm, that will take time. That's the transformation. That's the change repeated over time. But you don't stop because you don't see a result tomorrow. You keep going. Because as you start to repeat the habits, you start to change the habits. You start to change the patterns. And now you replace the old patterns, the old engrams, with new patterns, and the body starts to respond accordingly. And that's how we start to get ourselves where we need to be. And that makes it different, right? So I think really, like I said, you know, you can ask yourself those real, like four simple questions. What habits are shaping your future? And sometimes you don't even realize it's a habit. That's the thing, right? What sign is your body already showing? Sometimes people just think it's weight gain, or they just think it's natural. Your hair falls out. It's natural. My hair's turning gray. It's natural. My teeth are weaker. It's natural. No, it's not. It's signs of either some mineral deficiencies or some organs not working, then the organ vitality diminishing, it, you know, hormone changes. It's signs of change within that comes without. What can you still change? Sometimes it needs to be shown to you. What can you still change? And, you know, this is a big question. How do you remain vibrant, independent, and confident right into later life? And this is a really important question, especially for women. Because it's her health and happiness. So I'm going to direct it more at women. Especially for women who are living on their own, especially not for women who have become widows. I'm not discounting you, but for women who have chosen to remain on their own. Because these things are really important. What are the support networks? Connections is a principle of health. What connections have you maintained? We started at the top of this show with, when you put people first, people remember. Because in old age, in older age, in later life, if you have not put your health as a priority or made it a priority and you need assistance, trust me when I tell you, the homes cost a lot of money. And whatever you've worked for, all that stuff you've got set up, you may just end up spending it on someone outsourcing still your health to somebody to care for you. And they've got to care for you in amongst 100 other people. What personal, prioritized, intentional, deep care do you think you will receive? So I'm speaking to women who are watching their parents' age, who have that responsibility. I'm speaking to millions of us. So I really am looking forward to having you online this weekend, right? So email me pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. Or look at my Instagram, TikTok, @PelvicSecrets, and Jenny Russell on LinkedIn. I'm closing with this. My mother lived almost 90 years. It wasn't perfect, but it was purposeful. And in the end, the thing people remembered about my mum the most wasn't about what she owned. It was about how she loved. So perhaps the question this week is not, what am I leaving behind? But maybe it's really, what am I building today? Because your future health, your future independence, your future vitality, you're building them right now. One habit, one choice, one day at a time. And that is a legacy worth leaving. So, until next week, in health and happiness, stay blessed, stay safe, stay well, stay vivacious, stay vivacious. Dementia may have stolen my mum's memories, her words, and eventually her voice, but it never stole her vivacious spirit from those of us fortunate enough to have known her. And that is a beautiful memory. Take care.